Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Phone number to get in here on a Tuesday, 913-586-7798. Jason Evans in for the vacationing John Grayson.
Does that number work tomorrow as well?
We'll see.
What about Thursday?
We'll see. You're not here Thursday.
Friday?
Or tomorrow.
I know.
You're Friday.
Yeah. Dude, you ready for Friday?
Why? Do you have something special in store for me on Friday? You're back Friday.
One day at a time. Yeah, tomorrow is going to be an interesting one for me and the boy. We're doing some more testing with him to see just sort of what level of neurodivergent he is. And then,
what does that mean, neurodivergent?
Super,
I mean, I know what it means, but what does it mean?
I mean, it's like he has some learning disabilities to him that we're trying to figure out exactly what they are. If it's like an ADHD, if it's like autism, if it's spectrum stuff. Like, so we have some testing going on, a.k.a. we're going to play some games, which means we're through the Kansas City Public School System, we're doing this, so.
Interesting.
I'm interested because, like, he really is. He's hyper intelligent. The amount of vocabulary that the words that he uses is just beyond me sometimes. Like, how does this 4-year-old know these words? Swears more than anybody
That's
else.
That's just like you. That's swear, gee, I wonder where he got swear, that.
My wife no. swears more than anybody in the house. So? Proper context every single time, and it's you have to not try not to laugh at it. But boy, is it funny when you hear him going.
So what's the what was the sign that made you think he needed to be evaluated? Like, what did you first start to notice?
when he was a baby and he didn't like being a baby.
I remember that. Your Just child did not like being a child.
All the way back then. And then the explosiveness to him, meltdowns over little things, sometimes a hyperfixation on stuff that you can't get him away from. Mm-hmm. Almost also, too, like we had a situation coming back from Oklahoma City. We went down there a couple weeks ago where it was almost like a Tourette's thing for like 30 minutes where he couldn't really get him back to center. So we're just kind of trying to figure out how best to navigate him. Mm-hmm. And you know, because he's a little guy with such big emotions. So we're just trying to figure out how to dance with him the proper way, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, so that'll be our tomorrow.
It'll be interesting to see what they tell you.
I really am intrigued by it because you can only, you know, you can get a lot from books and from mommy blogs and videos and talking to people that have kids that have gone through this. But until you kind of can dial it down in your own kid, it's a lot of speculation. So
we
shall see.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Speaking of kids, so that gets us into this next story that came to us out of Yahoo, although Business Insider had this too. The new American dream is buying a house with friends. They're calling it a co-parenting model, a co-economy model, and a great friendship and support model.
Ooh.
We've talked about this a little bit in the past. In the pandemic, this seemed to start a little bit more when you started to have families that were kind of moving in together to get through some of the shutdowns. And then when housing prices went up so dramatically, then the idea came up that to save money, we'll just get together with two other families. We'll buy this really big house and we'll each have sections of the house and we'll make it work. And people really are making it work. And that's what this story gets into. They talked to this 50-year-old woman who lives in Minneapolis, who ended up moving in with her good friend and her friend's two children. They did this back in 2016 after her friend got divorced.
Okay.
Her friend owns the 4-bedroom, 3-bath townhouse in Minnesota. The woman named Marika, so the single woman here, pays rent in addition to taking care of utilities, acquiring paper goods, gardening, and helping to invest in the home. They're in talks about a model where she might eventually outright own half of the home.
Huh.
But again, she is there then with this mom and her two kids.
Yeah.
And she said, I feel like I am a really important part of this family and this community. Now I have people with me here and I'm a part of this big thing. She said, as the kids grew up, one brought a grandchild into the home. She's been able to build up her savings. Both women have benefited financially from the model. And more people are starting to do this. Americans are more single than ever. An increasing share of people are considering moving in with their friends. 913-586-7798. I sit here and ask myself, like, who amongst my friends would I do this with?
Yeah.
And
basically a compound. Basically, I'm living in it, like almost like a compound.
Well, and so you need a big enough space,
right,
and a big enough kitchen and enough bedrooms and all of that kind of stuff so that you're out of each other's way.
I mean, our majority of homes really are like really big when you think about it. Like, there's always like, you know, the outlier, not an outlier, but there's people live in smaller means. I get that. But for the most part, a lot of the homes in America are pretty dang big, pretty good size to where you may pull that off. I don't know if I'd want to, you know, like I got three kids, mm-hmm, three dogs, two cats, one wife. There's 10 of us, 10 little hearts, 10 little hearts, mm-hmm, underneath this roof. Now the cats come and go, 'cause you know, they frolic about outside right now, mm-hmm, 'cause it's nice weather. But I don't know, man, you put any more into our house, it's chaos.
Well, so you'd need a much bigger house. And that's part of the benefit is,
yeah,
that it allows you to live in a much bigger space than you'd be able to afford as just a family of your own.
Right.
Because there's a lot more shared space there. So would you do it? 913-586-7798. The company Redfin asked 2,000 U.S. adults in July how they plan to afford a monthly mortgage payment. That was when mortgage rates were really going high, as they are now. They found that 15% of respondents intend to live with at least one roommate. So this is not an immediate family member.
Right.
So would you do it if it meant that you could get much bigger house, financial stability, and if you're single, more community around you?
Sure, sure.
Would you do it?
What if, I mean, you know, this could be a recipe for disaster. Let's say that, like, somebody's wife has a friend that needs to move in.
Always the dark and gloomy.
I'm sorry.
Gloom and doom.
What if something shifty happens between the husband and the friend? Now what do you
Again, got? Yeah, I mean, anything is possible, I guess. Like, you'd have to trust the people that you're living with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like you'd have to trust them not to steal from you.
True.
I mean, you'd have to,
yeah,
not to, you know, punish your kids badly when you're gone.
Right.
I mean, all that kind of stuff. Colin, yes.
This is a very niche thing towards myself. But I was in a fraternity in college. I lived with 60 other guys all under the same roof. And let me tell you, there were issues.
What a nightmare.
But it was the most fun I've ever had, I think, throughout my almost 23 years of life.
Because you came from the middle of Kansas to a fraternity with 60 dudes. Come on, man. No offense, but like.
But would you do it now?
Yeah.
You have a significant other, right?
Do it again? I'm single.
Oh, I don't think I knew that. Why was I assuming you did? Okay, sorry.
Thanks.
Sorry. Way to really rub that in, Jamie.
I wasn't trying to. Listen, I'm right there with you. So if you had a significant other, would you? Like, if you were, would you?
See, and that's why I say it's very niche.
Like,
it's very,
do you have a best friend? Like, you know, and the four of you would get a house together.
Yeah. Yeah. I live right now with a roommate, a guy that I didn't know before last year. We started working together. We became really good friends, and now we're living together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he has a girlfriend. She is still in college, finishing up her program. But we both also got out a semester early. That's a whole different story for another day. But like I said, I think it's very niche, and it's very circumstantial to where, yeah, I'm 18 years old, going to college, joining a fraternity, and living with a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it is a bit different now to where I'm working. I have other stuff going on in my life. Granted, it was fun, mm-hmm, for the time being, but eventually, I don't want to say you grow out of it, but at the same time, it was nice eventually getting out of the house, but it was some of the most fun. I have some of my favorite memories that I've ever made living in that house with all of those guys.
You know, but what it sounds like, though, from the story that Jamie's telling, is like you go through that situation like you went through, right? And then you go on to be a young professional in the quote-unquote real world, right? And then maybe after a while, then you revisit the idea of, I hate to use the word compound. I know that's that's not it. Group living, if you will. But I mean, I remember many, many moons ago living in Dallas, Texas, and I had a girlfriend. Her and I lived upstairs, and my other buddy and his girlfriend lived downstairs. And we all, everything was cool. Like, we all shared the space because we were able to stay, because we all had our own bathrooms. I think that's the key, too. If you're going to do something like this and you got four people in a three bedroom with a one bath, game over. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. That's just not going to work. But I think if you've got at least a bath and a half, right? So at least, because inevitably, no matter what in my house, there comes a time when I've got to use the restroom and my wife and my daughter or my son is on the other toilet. And I'm like, God, come on, guys.
So.
Killing me here.
I am an extrovert and would rather have people around.
Sure.
And so I could see doing this with the right people in the right house. As in, every bedroom has an ensuite bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a house that has that then. I don't know what you do with the idea that most houses have a master suite.
Right.
And so maybe you could knock a wall down somewhere so that there are two master suites so that nobody's getting shortchanged in that deal. But if you could have a house arrangement so that there is a separate, like, living room area, like two living rooms or a family room and living room, I mean, with separate TVs.
Sure.
But you have houses that are like that have big basements or something that have separate areas for that.
I mean, how many houses have you seen, especially like in Midtown, where there's a kitchen upstairs and downstairs, you know?
Right.
From maybe it was cut up to be an apartment at one point, and then it got turned back into a home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are out there for sure.
I'm okay even with one big shared kitchen. I mean, you're doing it in part to be together a little bit.
Right.
You get a lot more outdoor space that way. You just get a lot more space to be in. I would be okay with it. I have several friends that have kids that I'm close to. We have vacationed together, you know, for weeks at a time. That went fine because I have my own room and we got to hang out and then go your separate ways at night.
I was gonna say, but that's it though. Like, you're just vacationing.
I'm just saying, like I said, it would have to be with the right people in the right house.
Right.
But I think I'm built for something like that. Not everybody is, but you got to like really being around people. And then you also got to have like rules and boundaries. And I don't want to steal Ryan's thunder here, but I think you got to have established boundaries of what to do when you have guests over and stuff like that. Would you do it? 913-586-7798. I want to get Ryan's call on here.
Nobody wants to hear you in the boom boom room when you got a guest over.
Let's go to Ryan. Let's go to Ryan in Parkville. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
What's up, Ryan?
So just kind of what she said is I live with my sister and her husband and my wife. We have the upstairs, they have the downstairs, what's commonly called a mother-in-law's quarters.
Yes.
In the basement, the only thing that we share is the wash machine room is upstairs.
Okay.
So we just have our schedules around the laundry. Obviously, we're family, so we get along really well. We're all kind of very like-minded. We do have a pool that we share. That's the one thing that we kind of, hey, when our friends are over. But we also have the same similar group of friends, so it works out pretty well. We have, you know, our own bathrooms, master bathrooms upstairs, downstairs. They have their own full kitchen. So it's unique in that sense. But yeah, like you guys said, if you got more people than you do rooms and not enough bathrooms, it could cause an issue. But we'll go a week or two without seeing each other. And
just
so
because
we have a big, large parking area and everything.
Okay.
So we're pretty fortunate.
I was going to say, you're giving it a lot of superlatives. It sounds like it's very much working in your favor. Is there any negative aspect? Is it like... It can't all be sunshine and rainbows, right?
Right. We've been there since last October. We've been there a year. And I think there's been one time when they were having a movie night that I could even really hear. But the house is really well structurally sound. And so it was all custom made by my wife's parents who lived with their parents. So they had my wife's grandma and grandpa lived with them their entire life. There's just, it's an old school kind of method of living, and we're going to continue to do it. And when my parents are unable to take care of themselves, then we'll move them in, and my sister and brother-in-law will move out. So it's just, if you're family oriented, it's great. And so for Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff, we have all of the stuff at our house, and we're fortunate enough to have enough space for everybody. So it's a really cool thing if it works out correctly. So yeah.
Right on.
Excellent.
We're very lucky.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. He mentions that, though, because we talked about this off air. It does seem and like it's very much a thing around here. Like, you got to get up and move out. You got to get up and move out. You got to get up and move out. And I don't know how many of, and I've got some friends that have become empty nesters now. And they're like, it's kind of weird, man. Like, we used to have the kids run around here all the time. Now one's got their own place and one's off in college and one's doing this. And it's like, you have all this space and what do you do with it? You know?
Yeah. We'll get to a break here. 913-586-7798. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on KMBZ. Moving on here, 913-586-7798. BuzzFeed had this next topic put up there because of Reddit. And we would love to put this out to you, too, and we'll chat about this a little bit. So what they'd found on Reddit was a question of what you learned on the job that you didn't learn in school or in the classroom, on-the-job lessons, things that you learned about yourself or the work world. That you wish you had known. It took being at work for you to learn that you wouldn't have learned in school. I'll give you a few examples here, and you're going to get an idea real quickly of where they're going here. Let me scroll down here just a little bit. Recap verbal conversations in emails.
Yes.
It'll keep everybody accountable.
Yes.
There was another one about email saying delete the send line of an email until you're done writing it. So you don't accidentally send it, like delete the sender who's going to receive it.
So you can finish it.
Recipient,
before,
not sender.
Right, right.
Yeah. Remove the recipient of emails until you're ready to send.
Right.
So you don't send it too soon or when you're feeling hot-headed.
Don't send anything that maybe you don't want out there either. You know,
that's in here.
Like, I mean, you hear about these people that, like, I don't know. I think Brett Favre comes to mind right now.
Everything going
on with you're going to. I'm not encouraging you to steal from the needy. All right. Steal from the rich. That's all I'm saying.
Here were some of the other things they put in here. And if you want to add to this list, what were things that you learned, not in school, but not until you got to work? I learned just from watching people excel financially. Don't look down on certain jobs, somebody said. Corporate isn't the same as it was a decade ago. Most servers and hairstylists I know make $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
So don't assume that corporate is always the way to go. Pay attention to the power dynamics in the office. Get at least one person on your side. Mm. Have an ally in the office. Don't be afraid to be job hunting and always be looking for your next job. Stuff that they just didn't tell you in school,
yeah,
if you went to school, but stuff they didn't tell you before you got to work that would have been helpful to know.
Productivity versus politics. Like my very first radio gig, I got downsized, right? But it was because me and my co-host and our music director were kind of clowning on the quote-unquote boss because he kept trying to move in. He went from a sales guy to our boss, even though he was formerly on air, then went to a sales manager, then tried to come back into like the PD role. And really was kind of steering the ship the wrong way. And we were sort of having a laugh about it. Well, the part-time kid took down mental notes of everything we said, ran back and told on us, and we all got wiped out of a job.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But because of budget restraints.
Wow.
Yeah. And so like, I learned right quick, like if you got a problem, especially if it's like your boss, don't comment it on it, you know. Watch how you run your mouth. I mean, clearly my mouth wrote a check that my butt couldn't cash. Right.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You know, it happens. And I'm here today. So,
yeah.
You know, but like, that's a big thing, I think, because if you have a problem at work, it is okay to have a problem at work. If you need to address it with the right people, though, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we learn from our mistakes, but
and I know it was a hit job because the guy, it was supposed to be us three get let go or he gets let go. And he said he wasn't going anywhere. They let go of us three. And then he decides, actually, I'm going to leave in 6 months. So he just made sure to wipe us out when he was leaving too.
One of the hardest lessons I learned was no one is going to fight harder for you
than you
are going to fight for yourself.
100%.
And there is
unless you hire an agent.
And there is no shame in that. Most people don't have agents.
Right.
No one is going to fight harder for you than you will. And you have to do it. And there's no shame in doing it. That's how you're going to get ahead is to go in and fight for yourself. And especially as women, we're not taught that it's okay to do that. We're taught that men do that, but we're looked down upon for doing that. No one is ever going to do that more than we are.
Yeah.
And the idea of pausing before you react to anything was something I learned. Like, don't go ahead and write the email. But don't send the email.
Yeah.
Go ahead and vent about the person that just upset you, but don't go to them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Take time to process all that stuff before you open your mouth.
Take a beat. Always take a beat. And that applies also not just to work. That applies to your real life in terms of like being married or dating or even friends for that matter.
Yeah.
For sure.
Keep these coming in. 913-586-7798. Again, what are the lessons about work that you didn't learn until you got to work that you didn't learn in the classroom? We'll pass some of these on. Take a break. Get to more of those coming up next here on KMBZ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, what were the things that you learned on the job that you only could have learned on the job and not necessarily in the classroom? It was a topic that came up on BuzzFeed that they picked up out of Reddit. Nivens and I were chatting about some things off the air as well. And some things that we acknowledge are maybe unique to everybody's industry. But what are some of the things that you didn't learn until you got to the office? A bunch of these are coming in the text line. We'll go to the phones first. Chris is first up out of KC. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
What's up, Chris?
Well, I learned that it's more important to enjoy the environment you work in than how much money you get paid.
I can see that. Getting paid's good, though.
And important, because enjoying the environment doesn't pay the rent.
But they can pay you all the money in the world, and if you don't like where you're working at, you are not going to like the job.
Right. For sure. 100%.
Good call.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Chris. We appreciate you getting in.
I know there's some people that, this is going to sound crass, I'm not trying to make it, there are some people that won't use the company restroom, but I would argue that it's the only time when you use your restroom at home, you got to pay for that.
Okay.
You get free toilet paper and free toilet here.
Okay.
Just saying.
You were the one that told me when we went home for the stay-at-home orders that I should have taken coffee with me. So.
Yes. Hijacked the company. Now, listen, I will tell you, now looking back on that, we need to upgrade our coffee here.
She told me to take home a chair. Should have thought bigger. if we'd known it was
going
to be
pens,
so long.
Get some pens, get some paper, get a hole puncher.
Studio chair.
Get a stapler while you're at it. Get a three-ring binder. No, you're right. You're right. But I definitely did tell you that. Yeah, because I think that, you know, we've been in talks. We've been in talks with boss's boss about trying to get some new coffee line up here.
Are you?
I feel like we've had the same kind of coffee here for like 12 years, and it's I think it's the same package from 12 years ago. So
this next one that just came in on the text line is something that I've gotten a lot better at. Maybe age has done this for me, but Learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Being a people pleaser can be a good thing, but it will lead to burnout on the job.
Right.
And emotional frustration when it's not reciprocated.
Clearly, I know how to say no around here.
I appreciate it.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you.
But I used to be that person that was afraid that if I didn't say yes to every single opportunity, then I would be seen as not a team player,
right,
and she doesn't really want to be here, and that I wouldn't get offered more opportunities in the future. And I wish somebody had said to me then that that was unnecessary,
mm-hmm,
like that I didn't have to say yes to absolutely everything. I remember in the year 2014 was the year that I was freelancing full time, and I traveled that full year. And so that was how I supported myself, was I was making a full time income. And because I was freelance and because I was traveling and that was kind of an expensive year, I felt like any extra work they offered me,
right,
I felt like I had to say yes to. And in retrospect, I wish I had scaled back on my workload that year because I was traveling. Like I had all these places to go see, and all I did was work that
right
whole time.
Yeah.
And I wish someone had said to me, you don't have to do all of this. Like they're still going to keep offering things to you. It's okay to say no. It's okay to take time away. It's okay to take time off. It's okay to take a break.
I would argue too, you talked about the last break. No one's going to fight harder for you than you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for more than you think you're worth.
Oh, no kidding.
Ask for more.
No kidding.
Ask for more. The worst thing they can say is no.
Yeah. But we're afraid.
Yeah. What's that?
We're afraid.
Sure.
Of asking for too much.
But I think you do that because then it's like, well, we can't give you this, but we like whatever number you think that you want to get,
mm-hmm,
ask for more than that because you don't want to start out as the number you want and then they come down from it, which they will because they always do. And here's the thing. If you're going to threaten to leave, if you're going to threaten to take a gig somewhere else, you better have something waiting in the wings because an empty threat usually doesn't pan out. But if you have something else like, well, they are going to bring this, they are going to bring me over here unless you come up with this, they'll tell you it's not in the budget, and you'll go, okay, and you'll go back to the people that are courting you and saying, how's it looking? We still land on this number? Oh, yeah, mm-hmm, we're landing on that number. Hey, I just went back to them again, and this is what they're saying. Well, it's not in the budget. Well, then I'm going to have to give you my walking papers. And then they'll go, hold on. You know what? We found it. It was underneath the boss's desk the whole time.
It's amazing.
We didn't know it was there. We thought we misplaced it. It turns out it was in the kitchen in the bottom cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're good to go.
A texter says, not everyone is your friend. There are people who don't want you to succeed.
Yes.
Been there.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And sometimes you don't know who that person is.
Right.
You don't always know who the person is that has something to gain from your failure.
I would also argue that, and I've made this about, I would avoid relations with anyone you work with.
It's complicated.
Because let me tell you, it's kind of like if you have the hibbity dibbity with a neighbor, then something goes south, then you guys are seeing each other still. I'd also say a friend's sibling, probably avoid that too. Now, if you date somebody and you become friends with their sibling, okay, fine, that's normal. Mm-hmm. But if you got like a girlfriend or a buddy and they've got a sibling that you're like, hey, maybe we could go out, I would avoid that too. That doesn't pan out. But I would. What is the expression? Do not dip the pen in company ink. Is that right?
You're using the PG version.
Yes.
Which I appreciate. Thank you.
I'm always looking out for you. I'm always looking out for you. People that are listening, they have company pens, Mom? Yes, honey, they do. There's ink and there's company pens. Avoid that. Very rare occasions have you seen it work out. Very rare occasions.
It's interesting because all these are negative. And I'm wondering if there are positive things too. That come out of this. But I think we've all learned lessons and mistakes. You're always replaceable. Keep that in mind when you consider how important you make your job in your life. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's an age thing too.
Yeah.
As you get older, I think you start to learn that.
When you're on family vacation,
mm-hmm,
those company emails can wait. Because there's nothing you can do when you're on family vacation. And take that time, man.
Yeah.
Take that time. Revel that time. Little Poppy's going to be a year next year. And it's just crazy to think how fast that year has just gone by.
Boy, I will never forget. And I've had some differing bosses in this business, as I'm sure you have too. And I was in my mid-20s, and I was on vacation in Mackinac Island, Michigan, which is not totally off the grid, but there are no cars allowed on that island.
Yeah.
And it was close to election season, and my boss called I think I was on a bike ride or something and called, and I thought, I'm on vacation. I'm not answering this.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
And so I listened to the voicemail later, and he just had a question about the upcoming election coverage. We were like 2 months away from that. And I did not, maybe waited a day to call him back because this was not critical. He read me the riot act when I got back.
Yeah.
And said, if you work for me, you always work for me. And I called you and you didn't call me back right away. And he absolutely, this was the same person that had me work while I had mono for 4 days.
No.
And I look at that now and I go, no, there's just no way. I mean, if it's.
That's know your worth stuff right there.
If it's an emergency, but that was not an emergency.
Yeah.
I also think now we have bosses though that also appreciate it. I think my bosses have gotten more mature.
Yeah.
With us, and also recognizing like they want the balance too.
Right.
And I think there's definitely some changes that we started to recognize with a pandemic. You know, I mean that really shifted a lot of things in terms of what we value to be so important.
Yeah.
Versus, I mean, again, productivity. That's what we're all here for, right?
Yeah,
Be productive.
Texter said, my dad always told me not to take too long a vacation because they might realize they can do your job without you. Yeah, I guess there's always that chance. But boy, it was really nice to be, this is not me bragging, but the longest trip I've done, I did 2.5 weeks when I did Vietnam and Australia. I've done it twice.
Wow.
And I could not have done that trip in under 2 weeks.
Sure, right.
And if that's all it was going to take for me to lose my job, I'm glad I did the trip.
Right. Yeah.
Like that was a good... You know, if that's the lesson that we were going to learn,
right?
Then fine.
I think if you want like a positive,
yes,
out of this, I think specifically talking to this job that I work now and my job being a coach at the high school is learning how to get better at problem solving and being a lot faster on your feet, figuring out issues,
right?
Because
boy, especially in this job,
yeah,
no kidding.
If something, and granted, like this isn't the hardest job in the world. But when everything starts falling apart on my side of the glass here, it feels like this is the hardest thing you'll ever have to do.
It's intense.
It gets intense. Like people don't realize, you know, oh, he's just pushing buttons and blah, blah, which like is true. That's what I do. But also when things go wrong, things can go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So being able to problem solve and being able to do it quickly
and
efficiently
yeah.
and staying calm while being able to do it is so important.
Yeah, there's not. It's really funny because, again, Colin hasn't been in this job very long. And what was your first day when you were training? What was happening that day?
Oh, that was the Uvalde shooting.
Okay. That's the perfect example.
That was my
example.
First day.
Yes.
When I was supposed to be like running the board and... the former
Katz.
Yes. He was like, I'm just going to watch you and have you run it. And I show up that day and he's like, yeah, you can't do it today. We got a lot going on today. And that was my first day was the Uvalde story.
That's the insanity that it can get sometimes.
Yeah.
And traffic cop is the word I use to describe the person in your role is that, and it's bad like that when there's breaking news or when there's really severe weather or winter weather.
When those EAS things keep going off, it's just like pandemonium sometimes.
It's and that's when I become a pain in your neck because I'm like, we need to do these 17 things in the next 18
seconds.
And
the lights are going off and the phones are ringing and everything's,
And it's funny when we were first talking to Colin about this job, I'm like, I don't know how to judge whether someone is good at that. Like, because that's such a unique to this job thing. I don't know how to, and Colin's been great at it. You're super calm and super chill, which is great. But you don't know, is someone going to be able to handle 13 balls in the air at once without losing their mind?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a trial by fire.
I thought this was an interesting one. There is no black and white. Everything is gray. Everything really, like, most of life is gray. That's about, that's not just with work. That's with life in general.
Yep. That's absolutely true.
Very much with life in general.
All right. Keep these coming in. 913-586-7798. Nivens is in for John Grayson. We'll take a break and wrap up today's show next on KMBZ. 913-586-7798. Dayton Park's on the way about 10 minutes from right now. John Grayson's on vacation. Jason Nivens, afternoons on 98.9 The Rock is here.
That's me.
Next story is about the Flippy 2.
I'm sorry?
The Flippy 2.
I don't know what that is.
This was out of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Deacon Herald. This is a robot that, among other things, makes French fries faster and better than humans do. This is what we're going to be replacing people with here in restaurants. This is Miso Robotics Incorporated out of Pasadena has started rolling out its Flippy 2 robot, which automates the process of deep frying potatoes, onions, and other foods. It's actually kind of cool to watch it in action. A big robotic arm like those in auto plants, directed by cameras and artificial intelligence, takes frozen French fries, other foods out of a freezer, dips them in hot oil, then deposits the ready-to-serve product into a tray. It can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, reducing the need for catering staff, and speeds up order delivery at drive-through windows.
Huh.
It took 5 years to develop, recently made it commercially available.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going that way.
It's all going that way. Radio's been going that way forever.
Yeah, automating everything. What I want to know is, I went into... I went into Target to get the family some stuff yesterday because it's right next door, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll do self-checkout.
Yeah.
Why don't I get a discount? Why don't I get like 10%?
You're opening that can of worms.
Why don't I get like 10% off?
Yeah.
You're going to put in robots to get me my fries.
Yeah, but you don't have to do self-checkout.
But I chose to.
That's your problem.
So I should... Now, the one at the Target works pretty good. I'll give the one in Sunfresh in Westport, it's suspect at best. But I want to know why I don't get a discount.
What is suspect about it?
Every single time I have problems with it. And I know, like, don't go to the checkout. Just wait in line here. They're going to help you. They're nice. No, there's like three people in front of me. Let me just go to the checkout. I can do it myself. And I go there, and 9 times out of 10, something gets screwy with it, and it's like, bing. Wait for an attendant to come to you.
What do you struggle with in the self-checkout?
A lot of times it just reads it wrong or something. Read it. Or heaven forbid, I set something next to the bag because it doesn't need to go in a bag. And it's like, please wait for the attendant to sign off. And I'm like, it's literally right there. It's right on the weighted thing. Like, I don't know what it is about that checkout, that self-checkout. But I want to know why I can't get a discount when I do my self-checkout. Because if you think about it, I'm saving you money because I'm not employing anybody to help check me out.
913-586-7798 if you'd like to.
And don't tell me I need to do Amazon. I know that.
Are we getting better at self-checkout? Are we getting better at using it?
Clearly I'm not.
Because it makes me nervous a little bit because I'm not very fast at it. And so if there's a long line of people waiting, I feel pressure to hurry up and get it done.
I feel that.
And the only two things I struggle with are if I have to search for the thing in the system, like the produce.
Right.
If I can't just scan it.
Right.
Only because that takes longer. And I had the same problem you did this morning. I stopped by Hy-Vee on my way in and I put the thing in the bag, but it didn't recognize that I put it in the bag and then everything stopped.
Yes, there's that. And also too, if you got to bring up like Sudafed or anything like that, they gotta check your ID. Beer, save the beer for the end.
Okay.
Because they got to come check your, whatever alcohol you get, they got to check your ID.
Yeah.
But I want to know, why can I not get a discount when I do self-checkout?
I mean, here's the honest answer, because they are doing the self-checkout to save themselves money.
Right.
And if they give you a discount, then they may as well just pay people to do it.
I feel like I deserve a discount. I should get a discount.
You don't. Because you could just go to regular checkout and have them do it.
I'm very aware of the decisions.
Fight the system, Nivens. This is what you do, man.
Well, I thought I was fighting the system by doing self-checkout. Is that not it? Have someone do it for me? That's what I need to be doing?
Don't you normally do like everything from like little locally owned? And
I try to. I mean, I try to. But I mean, at this point now, it's like.
Did you give up?
You kind of have to, because it's like this, right? Like, if I don't watch myself, then I have these whole like mental breakdowns because, you know, you go, oh, I'm going to go to a mom and pop shop. So that way I'm not like paying, you know, most of our retail goods come out of what? China. Like if we're realistic about it. You know, I've seen the American flags at 4th of July. I'd say HECO in China, which means it was made in China, shipped through Mexico and bought it like, a mart, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go. But I try to not go down that rabbit hole, but then inevitably you go down that rabbit hole. Like I had to change out my shower head over the weekend. I had to make 2 trips to the depot to do that.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
I got the wrong one the first time out.
Okay. So was that?
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Is anyone else still doing grocery delivery? So I go back and forth with that a little bit. One of my credit cards gives me free grocery delivery. Not that I'm not fully capable of doing it myself. But grocery shopping used to be something I really enjoyed, and now I find to be more stressful and kind of overwhelming.
Because the choices or the people?
I think it's more me. I think it's more just the experience is not fun for me anymore. I don't think the experience has changed. I think in the pandemic, I had anxiety in the pandemic in a way I've never really had it before that. And I think I still have a little bit of that.
Yeah,
and
residual.
There's something about being in a grocery store that if it's a bigger trip, I can't handle anymore. My anxiety just can't do it. I don't know why. There's something about that triggers me.
Do you fear for your safety?
No.
Do you fear?
There's nothing rational
about
it. Just
annoyed.
Being in there somehow drives my blood pressure up.
Mm-hmm.
And drives my anxiety up a little bit.
So if there was like a little corner bodega in your neighborhood where you live, you'd probably be hitting that thing on a daily basis because you'd be going in, getting a few things, going out.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think. Because I could do that. Like, I don't live that far from... I mean, there are smaller grocery stores around me where I could just go and pick up a couple things. And that's kind of what I do now. But
I'm talking about walking in. I'm talking about like, because I think part of the hassle with the storage, you got to get in the car, you got
to
drive.
Yeah, there are a lot of steps to it. There's,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you're like me, you look at a parking lot and you go, God, this parking lot's bigger than the footprint of the store. It's crazy, you know?
And so you're right. Maybe I would if it was just right across the street or something like that. But it's just easier for me anymore to just do it all, sit here, sit on my computer, and be calculated about it and be efficient about it and then just have them bring it to my house.
So you don't do the thing where you fill it out, then pull up and wait and then come mm-hmm. put it in. Okay.
Cause they will, cause it's free. And so they'll just bring it to me and I can do it like in the morning and they'll have it there that afternoon.
Sure.
And so I just absolutely, since I'm not paying for it anyway.
Give me convenience or give me death. Not just a fancy title from the Dead Kennedys back in the '80s. Yeah.
It's not convenience. I have plenty of time to go do it. It's more about like managing my energy.
Okay.
And if I can save my energy, if that's where I draw the line, then I'm okay with that being, cause like I'm tipping the guy,
yeah.
You know, there's a guy that's doing it.
Sure.
That's getting a tip out of that and stuff like that.
Do you still like to go out to restaurants?
Sometimes.
Do you prefer more takeout?
Sometimes. Just depends.
Pubs?
Depends on where I am.
What about pubs?
Depends on where I am.
Yeah.
Depends on who I'm with.
Do more of a...
Depends on what I know about the place.
More of a George Thorogood, I drink alone.
You're looking for rationality in something that doesn't exist.
No, I'm asking you questions.
Yeah,
about
just depends.
Which one you're into. Like if you're still...
Depends on my mood that day. Depends on the kind of place. Depends on who I'm with. Depends on where I am. It just kind of depends on... But for some reason, grocery shopping is... And it's a bummer because it's something I used to really, really enjoy. Like that used to be my zen experience.
What about,
and it's so not anymore.
What about retail shopping?
I've never been a retailer. I've never been a shopper.
Been a buyer. You go out, get what you want, and you're out of there.
Yeah. It's just never been something I've enjoyed ever. So Flippy 2 is what is going to start replacing. and hopefully what it'll do is, I mean, on the bright side of it, as we have a worker shortage, hopefully what it'll do is fill in some of that gap so that it's not quite so much of a weight.
Right.
When you're out getting stuff.
Flippy 2.
So I think it's fun.
I thought it was like some sort of kids show. I was like, I don't even know what this is. I'm probably going to find out soon, though.
Yeah, they're doing it. White Castle is taking this on, which I know we don't have White Castle here. Jack in the Box, Cali Burger has started taking them on.
You can get White Castle in the box in the most freezer section to the store.
Are they as good frozen?
I don't know. I haven't had White Castle in ages.
I grew up with it, and so it doesn't have the fascination.
I always
liked
the chicken rings. I never cared for the burgers that much, but the chicken rings were great.
Huh. I don't remember.
There used to be one down on like 87th-ish in Medcalf. We used to.
Isn't the closest one Columbia now?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what Ray says, is that we need a White Castle here, but Columbia is the closest one. So, all right, so now you're going to go do the job that they pay you for.
Yeah, I'm going to go melt some faces down on 98.9 The Rock.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Down the hall. Thanks for being here. You're back, what, Friday?
Yes, ma'am.
Good luck tomorrow with all of the doctoring things.
I think it'll be interesting, for sure.
With the kiddo.
Yeah.
All right, we will turn this over to Dana Parks. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.